This is the Green Student Ministries High School Podcast of the Chapel in Green. We are committed to our students being known, knowing Jesus, and becoming kingdom workers. We hope this podcast serves to encourage, challenge, and to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. This is Green Student Ministries.
And so that brings us to today, where we are going to really kind of wrap up the last moments of Saul being the king of Israel. And so, if you were here last week, you had the opportunity to hear Daniel, our missionary friend, speak on David being on the run and Saul chasing him down and his jealousy. And if you missed out on that one, I encourage you to check out the podcast because Daniel did a phenomenal job talking through that and sharing with us about the fears that exist in our lives. But for today, we're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 28. And so let's read this in verse 15, and then we're going to go back up and work through the whole chapter this morning. But this is what it says in 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse 15. It says, "Then Samuel said to Saul, 'Why have you disturbed me by bringing me up?' And Saul answered, 'I am in great distress, for the Philistines are warring against me, and God has turned away from me and answers me no more, either by prophets or by dreams. Therefore, I have summoned you to tell me what I shall do.'" So let's pray. Father God, thank you for this morning. God, I thank you that you use incredibly broken people. Father, that you pick us, that you select us and you choose us in moments where we are just completely broken. But Father, I thank you that you do that because it shows off who you really are. It shows off what you are, a glimpse of what you are capable of. And so, Father, as we look to your word this morning, Father, I pray that you would convict our hearts, that you would convict my heart, that you would convict our hearts, that we would see the things in our lives that are welling up pride and selfish ambitions, that we would lay those at your feet, that we would give those to you. And through that, Father, you would show us what you want from us and what you want for us. So, Father, thank you for your word and pray that it would speak to our souls this morning, that we would hear it and we would do something with it. Father, that we would continue to pursue you in a greater way, that we would find comfort in you, that we would find forgiveness in you, that we would find incredible love poured out in you. And so, Father, be with us this morning. It's in your name we pray. Amen. And so we're going to catch, just to catch you up real quick. So this is, the past couple weeks have kind of been in and out of multiple different chapters. And so there may be some things that we see that bring us and we go, hold on a second. We've talked about that in the last couple weeks, but they're kind of interwoven and they lead to this moment. And so where we find ourselves today is David is still on the run. He's actually joined. He's gone to the Philistine army because Saul is pursuing him to kill him. And David finds himself with the Philistine army with the hopes of becoming a part of the Philistine army to find protection and to be able to continue to fulfill what he feels he has been called to do. And so this is what it says in chapter 28. We're going to work 1 all the way through 19 today. So this is what it says. It says, "In those days, the Philistines gathered their forces for war to fight against Israel. And Achish said to David, 'Understand that you and your men are to go out with me in the army.' David said to Achish, 'Very well, you shall know what your servant can do.' And Achish said to David, 'Very well, I will make you my bodyguard for life.'" And so David is on the run. He knows that he has been appointed and anointed from God to be the king of Israel, but the recognized king of Israel finds himself coming after David. And so David goes to the Philistines to find protection, to find some solace, to be able to find himself in a place where he is not having to be constantly on the run. And so the leader says, "Very well, he will make him his bodyguard for life." And so David is now working with the Philistines because Israel is coming against him, and it's all part of God's bigger plan. And so just wanted to bring you up to date there. That's what's going on in David's life. But now what we're going to do is we're going to look into Saul's life and see some of the things that have come up from the fears that he has and the things that he has been running from and the things that he has been aggressive towards because of his fears. And so this is what it says. In chapter 28, verse 3, it says, "Now Samuel had died." Remember that Samuel was the prophet. Samuel was the prophet that this book of the Bible has been named after. Samuel was a prophet who anointed, he saw that the nation of Israel was demanding a king. Look back multiple weeks ago, Betsy had told us that they were demanding a king. And so Samuel was appointed to identify Saul, who would be the anointed king of Israel. And so they have this relationship, but then Saul, his disobedience leads to him losing his anointing. Samuel says, "The Lord has rejected you, and so I will also reject you." And so that brings us to here. It says, "Samuel has died." So the prophet Samuel has died. "And all Israel had mourned for him and buried him in Ramah, his own city." So Samuel has died. The whole nation of Israel mourns him because he was a prophet of Israel. They loved him. They looked to him for what God was speaking into the people. He was the one who corrected them. He was the one who directed them, and he now has died. And so the whole nation of Israel is mourning the death of a prophet of God. And so it says, "Israel had mourned for him and buried him in Ramah, his own city. And Saul had put the mediums and the necromancers out of the land." And so, real quick, if you don't understand this portion, so mediums and necromancers were people who believed that they could somehow communicate with the dead. They could communicate with spirits in the afterlife. And so Saul, it tells us this here, because Saul is following the direction from an earlier book. It's called Levitical Law. And so essentially Moses wrote from God all of these laws, and one of them was that we as believers should not consult, that we should not interact with necromancers and mediums. That essentially to say, hey, don't go to engage with someone who is going to try and speak to a spirit or someone from the afterlife, okay? Modern day, like kind of modern day psychics, you know, kind of a thing. And so Saul is being obedient to what Moses had instructed hundreds of years before, in the sense that this was not something that Israelites, that the chosen people of God, should engage in. This is behavior that is in fact sinful, that God has said, don't do that. And so we see here that Saul had pushed out the mediums and the necromancers. He said, this is not a place for you, be gone. And they began to leave that community. So it says, the Philistines, verse 4, "The Philistines assembled and came and encamped at Shunem, and Saul gathered all Israel, and they encamped at Gilboa. When Saul saw the army of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart trembled greatly." And so what we need to understand here is Saul finds himself in this, so the territory that they're in, this place where he is Gilboa. It's a mountain that looks down on this place where the Philistines' armies gathered. And so as he's looking at this from a safe vantage point, he's looking down, he starts to see the Philistine armies are assembling. And we see from the text that the Philistines assembled and came out and encamped at Shunem, and Saul gathered all Israel, and they encamped in Gilboa. Verse 5, "When Saul saw the army of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart trembled greatly." So he looks down, he sees the army that's getting ready to come against them, and he finds himself in a moment where he's going like, I don't know that we can do this. Says that he's trembled, he's afraid of the army that is coming to attack his nation and attack his kingship and attack him personally. And he sees this army coming, preparing for war, and he is greatly afraid. Verse 6, "And when Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him, either by dreams or by Urim or by prophets." And so we see here Saul consults. He goes to God. He's praying and he's going to God and he's saying, hey, God, what do I do here? The Philistines are coming against us. What do I need to do as king? And we see from verse 6 there, he inquired of the Lord, but the Lord did not answer him. He didn't answer him by dream. So very, very, very common in the Old Testament, and even through the New Testament, we see that there are times where God communicates with people through dreams. He gives them a dream that directs them and guides them in what they are needing to do. So Saul consults God. He reaches out. He prays, and he says, God, help me understand what I need to do. But he doesn't come to him through dream. We also see that it says he doesn't come to him by Urim. And essentially what this is the priests of this time would wear this breastplate, and it would have different markings, and it was part of their attire that God identified for priests. Not modern-day priests. We're not thinking modern-day priests. This is Old Testament priests. And what they would do is they would go to these priests, and the priests would give word of what God is calling his people to do. But the problem with this one is the reason that God did not speak to Saul through these priests is because we see earlier on, as Saul is chasing after David, as Saul is pursuing David with the hopes to kill him, he goes to this town, this village, this area called Nob. And as he gets there, he slaughters all of the priests in his rage for David. And so these priests that he was hoping maybe would be able to help guide and direct him in what he needs to do as he's consulting God are not there because he put them to death. And we see from that account earlier in 1 Samuel that only one of the priests was able to survive and flee and go on the run. Because of Saul's hatred and fear of David, he makes a decision to have these priests killed. And now God is not communicating through the priests because there are no priests left for God to communicate through because of Saul's disobedience, his rage, his fear, and his anger. We also see that the Lord didn't answer him through dreams or Urim or by prophets. We just see that Samuel, the prophet, has died. But one of the things we also need to understand is because Saul lost his appointing kingship from God, Samuel was a part of that encounter, and so Samuel goes back to the other prophets and says, hey, God has rejected Saul because of his disobedience. God has rejected Saul, and so, hey, we're not cool anymore. Like, it's not what it once was. And so the prophets themselves, the remaining prophets, have also rejected Saul. And so Saul goes to God, and he says, God, what do I need to do? What do I need to do in this moment? And God doesn't answer him through dream or through Urim or the priests. He also doesn't answer him through the prophets. And the reality of this, we see some response from Saul in verse 7. It says, then Saul said to his servants, seek out for me a woman who is a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And the servants said to her, behold, there is a medium at Endor. And so what Saul does here is he seeks God. He goes to God and he says, Lord, help me understand what I do. And God doesn't respond through dream or through priest or through prophet. And so what Saul does is he digs in deeper. He says, God's not going to respond to me, so I have to go about it in my own means to find an answer to the problem that exists in my life. And so what he does is he tells his men, he says, go find a medium, go find a necromancer, go find a psychic, so that I can consult with her and figure out what I am supposed to do, so that we can bring up the spirit of someone who is dead and I can get the advice that I need. I can find the solution to the problem that I have. And the reality that we see from Saul's life is all of this problem, all of the problems that Saul is experiencing stems from the thing we looked at weeks ago when Saul was disobedient to God's word. When God called Saul to be the tool that he would be that would be used in the army and the nation of Israel to go and to defeat and to wipe out and to pour out God's wrath on the Amalekites, and Saul was disobedient in that. And so Saul's disobedience in one moment, the moment where he engages in sinful behavior, he finds multiple opportunities beyond that to begin to repent and to seek forgiveness. And repentance is just a fancy word for changing your mind. Saul could have said, you know what? I'm making decisions that aren't working out in my best interest. Maybe I'm continuing to be disobedient to God. I need to change my mind, and I need to follow God in my life. And I know what you might be thinking, Ryan, what does this have to do with us this morning? I've never consulted a psychic or a medium or a necromancer. What does this have to do with me? I think the reality of what we need to understand is sometimes, I think a lot of us decide, as opposed to seeking forgiveness and looking for forgiveness and deciding to change our mind, we double down on our sin and we only engage in it more because we hope that sin will cover our past sin. And I think when we really look at this is, you know, it's like when I was a kid, my mom tells me I had a terrible habit, a terrible sinful habit of lying. She goes, "You are a lying young boy." That's what she said about me. She said, "You used to lie so much." And I think some of us in here can understand what that's like. You're dishonest with your parents. You lie to your parents. And when you get caught in that lie, when it comes to the moment where the truth begins to come to the surface, what we do is we lie again to cover that sin. We try to cover sin with greater sin, with more sin. We get caught in our lie, and instead of saying, you know what? You're right. I don't know why, but yeah, you're right. I was dishonest with you. We go, no, I need to create another lie that covers that one. So much sometimes we go, hey, can you cover for me? We pull in a friend or someone who's close to us, maybe on a Friday night or a Saturday night. We tell our parents, hey, I'm going to the movies with my friends. When in reality we're engaging in other behaviors that our parents would not approve of. And so we say, hey, friend, hey, buddy, I told my parents I was going to the movies with you. Can you, like, if they, like, ask you, can you cover for me? And so now what we have done is we have taken our lie and we have pulled someone else into it. And we're trying to cover sin with more sin with the hopes of not being found out. I mean, I think we see this all the time in our lives. This is one of the reasons why abortion is such a hot topic issue in our lives and in our communities, because a lot of abortion comes from premarital sex. We engage in sexual behavior, and what we find is we go, hey, man, you know what? I'm engaging in this behavior, and now, you know what? I'm scared to death because my girlfriend is pregnant, or girlfriend, you are pregnant, and you go, oh my goodness, I engaged in sinful behavior. What's my response to that? We need to go, we need to destroy this baby, and we engage in sinful behavior on top of sinful behavior. And we continue to dig into our sin when all we need to do is give into the forgiveness of God. We need to come clean. We need to sit there and we need to go, you know what, mom, dad, you know what, boyfriend, girlfriend, you know what, friends, God, I have not been living the way that I should be and I need forgiveness. I'm trying to repent of my sins. And this is what it comes down to. A lot of us, you may know someone who is found themselves in this lifestyle, and I've watched a lot of documentaries and videos where people are engaging in these behaviors. Maybe it's, you know, I started to drink a little bit and party on the weekends, and then that led to a little bit of pot here and there, and then that led to bigger drugs. And the person always says, I honestly don't know how I got here. And the reality is, the way that we got there is we continue to try and cover sinful behavior with greater and more sinful behavior. That's where Saul finds himself at this moment. I think that's where we find ourselves a lot of the times throughout our weeks and our months and in our relationships with others and in our relationship with God. So Saul finds himself here where he goes, God's not answering me through dream, through priest, or through prophet. So I have to go on my own, and I have to figure out how to get the answers that I want. And the way that I'm going to do that is I am going to break Levitical law. I'm going to rightfully, not rightfully, I am going to willingly engage in sinful behavior so that I get what I want. I want to know what I need to do here. And so the only way, the easiest way, is for me to rightfully walk through sinful behavior, take that on with the hopes of getting what I want. And that's what it comes down to a lot of the times for each and every one of us. Is we say, this is what I want, and I don't care what happens. I am going to engage in this so that I get exactly what I want. And this brings to fruition all of the things of Saul's life. From the moment he was disobedient to God with the Amalekites, every moment as he's pursuing David, as he's trying to kill David, as he's killing priests, and as he's slaughtering people, all the way up to this moment where it all comes to fruition, where God has not answered Saul. And so Saul says, I have to continue to go about it on my own way because God won't give it to me in the way that I want it to be. And I want what I want. So they find this medium in Endor. It says, verse 8, so Saul disguised himself and put on other garments and went, he and two men with him. And they came to the woman by night, and he said, divine for me a spirit, or divine for me by a spirit, and bring up for me whomever I shall name to you. The woman said to him, surely you know what Saul has done. Keep in mind that he is dressed up, he's in disguise, so she doesn't understand that he is the king of Israel, that he is Saul. But she says, surely you know what Saul has done, how he has cut off the mediums and the necromancers from the land. Why then are you laying a trap for my life to bring about my death? But Saul swore to her by the Lord, as the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you for this thing. And so he engages with this medium, this woman. And he's in disguise. She doesn't recognize who he is. And he says, hey, can you bring up a spirit for me? And she says, well, no, hold on a second. King Saul, not knowing that it's him standing in front of her, King Saul pushed all of them out of the land. Do you not know what would happen to me? The reality is necromancers and mediums were killed if they were found engaging in the types of behaviors that God has deemed sinful. And she goes, are you trying to set a trap for me? Do you not know what happens if I do this? And now what Saul's doing is he's bringing someone else into his sinful behavior and causing her to engage in sinful behavior as well. We do this a lot of the time to try and cover our sin. Verse 10, but Saul swore to her by the Lord, as the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you for this thing. And we've done this a lot as the church. We see behaviors that God has said is not okay, and we make concessions for those behaviors. We do this a lot of time. And what Saul says, he goes, hey, by the Lord. He swears it by the Lord. He swears by the Lord who established these rules and these laws, who established what was and was not sinful behavior. He swore by her that if she engaged in the sinful behavior, then she would not be held to the account, to the standard that was necessary. And so really what he's saying is he goes, hey, I swear to you by God that he won't kill you for this sinful behavior that he himself has deemed sinful. And so he creates this promise that is empty and that is not authentic and that he himself doesn't have the authority to guarantee your backup. But he just tries to calm her and say, hey, no, this is okay. Says, then the woman said, whom shall I bring up to you? And he said, bring up Samuel for me. When the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice. And the woman said to Saul, why have you deceived me? You are Saul. The king said to her, do not be afraid. What do you see? And the woman said to Saul, I see a God coming up out of the earth. And he said to her, what is his appearance? And she said, an old man is coming up, and he is wrapped in a robe. And Saul knew that it was Samuel. And he bowed with his face to the ground and paid homage. The thing I love about this is he goes to this woman and he asks her to bring up the spirit of Samuel, to consult the spirit of Samuel because he is not finding out what he wants to hear. And it says the woman begins to do this, and I love it. It says, but Saul swore to her. In verse 11, it says, the woman said to her, "Who shall I bring up?" He said, "Samuel." The woman saw Samuel. She cried out with a loud voice. So she calls him up, and she is just as surprised as anyone else. Because the reality is, I don't believe that necromancers and mediums have the ability within them to pull up spirits. They engage in this practice, but as we see from the text, she is more surprised than anyone else that a spirit actually comes up. It's that moment of like, oh my goodness, it worked. You know what I mean? Like this, like she's been doing this and engaging this, but never happened before, because a human can't bring up spirits. And so what we begin to realize is the only way that it would have happened is that God allowed it to happen. And so we see that Saul now is engaging with this woman. She sees him. Saul does not see him at this moment. She is afraid. But Saul goes, no, I don't care about your fear. Don't mess this opportunity up. I'm getting what I want now, so don't screw this up. He says to her, bring up Samuel. She cries out with a loud voice. And the woman says, why have you deceived me? You are Saul. King said to her, do not be afraid. What do you see? He goes, don't worry about that right now. Help me get what I want. Don't worry about your fear. Don't worry about the reality that you are engaging in sinful behavior as well. Just give me what I want. Don't miss this. Don't miss this, students. So often we are so focused on our sinful behavior that we are missing out on opportunities to turn and repent and seek what God wants from our lives, so much that we are bringing other people in. Our own selfish desires begin to well up, and it's saying, I don't care about anyone else. I just want what I want. And that's where Saul's at, with this woman who is now speaking with the spirit of Samuel. She is freaked out because it's finally worked. She didn't think it actually worked. She was just trying to play the game. But now she's standing and she's speaking to the spirit of Samuel, and she's afraid. And the guy who contracted her to do this says, no, don't focus on you. Focus on me and what I want. So in verse 13, it says, the king said to her, don't be afraid. What do you see? And the woman said, I said to Saul, I see a God coming up out of the earth. Now that God word in the Hebrew is talking about a spirit, not an actual God. Obviously, notice too, the small g, making up, as we observe and we look at this, we see a small g. The only big g, the only capital G is God, God our Father, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the only authentic and real God that exists. But she sees a God coming up out of the earth, so she sees this spirit coming up out of the earth. And he says, what is her appearance? She said, an old man is coming up, and he's wrapped in a robe. And Saul knew that it was Samuel, and he bowed with his face to the ground and paid homage. Verse 15. Then Samuel said to Saul, why have you disturbed me by bringing me up? Saul answered, I am in great distress, for the Philistines are warring against me, and God has turned away from me and answers me no more, either by prophets or by dreams. Therefore, I have summoned you to tell me what I should do. Saul still has no ownership whatsoever of his sinful behavior. He goes, God has turned on me. He's refusing to respond to me. He's refusing to give me the answers. Never once does he go and reflect within and say, well, hold on a second. Why wouldn't God respond to me? His focus is 100% on himself. Samuel says, why did you call my spirit up? What is going on here? Imagine Samuel in this moment. He's looking, and he goes like, what are you doing? Why are you bringing me into this? He goes, I've said my piece. I've told you what God has told me to tell you, and that you have lost his favor. And Samuel, he says, why have you disturbed me and bring me up? Saul answered, I'm in great distress. I think a lot of us, in moments where we're engaging in sinful behavior, when we're being just outright disobedient to God and we're covering sins with more sins, I think a lot of times we would say, I am in great distress right now. I think there are many times in each of our lives where we would say, I am in great distress, and we are missing out that the distress is coming from our own choices to pursue sinful behaviors. He says, the Philistines are warring against me. The enemy of the nation of Israel is getting ready to come and attack. And he says, and God has turned away from me and answers me no more, either by prophets or by dreams. He's going, hey, God's not giving me the answers. He has left me. And in this moment, Samuel's probably like thinking like, no. You have left God. You have been outright disobedient time and time and time again. And instead of giving in and seeking forgiveness and repentance, Saul, you have dug in deeper and deeper and continued to sin in the hopes that your sin would bring you out of your sin. And that's not how it works. Samuel said, verse 16, why then do you ask me, since the Lord has turned from you and become your enemy? He goes, hey, if God is your enemy, if he has turned for you, what can I do to change God's mind? He goes, what good am I if the God of the universe has turned his back on you because you have rejected him? What good am I in this situation? Verse 17, the Lord has done to you as he spoke by me, for the Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hand and has given it to your neighbor David. Verse 18, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord and did not carry out his fierce wrath against Amalek, therefore, the Lord has done this thing to you this day. Moreover, the Lord will give Israel also with you into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow you and your sons shall be with me. The Lord will give the army of Israel also into the hand of the Philistines. What Samuel's saying here is, hey, he's going, Saul, you're missing it. You're missing it. The reason all of these things are happening in your life is because you will not seek forgiveness. You continue to double down on your behaviors. You continue to dig into your sin. Hey, Saul, you're blowing it, man. You've got the God of the universe who wants good things for you and from you. All you need to do is you need to turn and repent and you need to seek forgiveness. Samuel's saying, hey, all of these things. He says, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord and did not carry out his fierce wrath against Amalek, therefore the Lord has done this thing to you this day. He's not answering you because you're continuing to be disobedient. You're continuing to pursue sin. The reason he's not giving you the answer that you seek is because you are not seeking him. You just want to pull, he just want him to pull you out of this situation. In this moment, Saul isn't looking for a way to get back to God, but rather to avoid impending defeat. He doesn't care about God. He cares only about himself. We see this time and time again with Saul. And when we reflect on this, I think we see reflections of Saul's life in our own lives. Where we go, I don't care what it costs other people. I just want to live my life. I want to live my truth. I want to be me. I'm going to continue to be the person that I want to be. But the reality is God's saying, no. You're missing it right now. You're missing it because you are not becoming the person that I, God, created you to be. You're engaging in these worldly, sinful behaviors. You're only focused on yourself. And because of that, you are seeing the destruction of your life, your circumstances, and your surroundings. At this moment, Saul could care less about what God wants from him. The only thing he cares about is himself. Verse 19, moreover, the Lord will give Israel also with you into the hand of the Philistines. He goes, it's done. Prophet of God, the Spirit called back. He's giving Saul the reality of his circumstances. It says, moreover, the Lord will give Israel also with you into the hand of the Philistines. And tomorrow, you and your sons shall be with me. He's saying, tomorrow, Philistines are coming, and they're gonna unleash their wrath upon you. And you and your sons, by this time tomorrow, will be dead, and you will be with me, he says. Your spirit will be beyond your body. He says, the Lord will give the army of Israel also into the hand of the Philistines. And here's one of the things. I'm going to give a little bit of a spoiler of what's to come. Here's where we see the difference between Saul and David. Here's where we see the difference of the life and the ruling of Israel is different in these two ways. Both men blow it time and time again. Both men engage in sinful behavior. But one of the men in David is willing to humble himself, say, Lord, I don't understand why I'm doing what I do. I am engaging in sinful behavior. I need to turn from my ways and I need forgiveness. David is willing to do that. He is willing to humble himself. Saul is not. He's digging in. He's saying, I'm going to engage in these behaviors. I don't care. I'm going to do what I want to do. His response with Samuel is, he says, hey, there's no hope. Because you are refusing to go to the God of hope, there is no hope for you. By this time tomorrow, you and your sons will be dead. Because Saul's heart was so hard, he would not allow the Spirit of God to work in him and move in his life to seek forgiveness, to seek repentance. Because Saul's heart was so hard, he continued to seek affirmation. He continued to seek results. He continued to seek looking for the answers that he wanted to hear from the world. And it led to him being killed along with his sons. And so, students, the advantage that we have, no matter where we're at, is we have the opportunity, because of what Jesus has done, to go before that same God. To go before him and say, I am not living my life in the way that you have called me to. Lord, by the power of your Spirit, through the blood of Jesus, please forgive me. Help me to see what you want for my life, not only what I want for my life. We have the opportunity to come before God any moment to seek forgiveness. Maybe you're sitting here this morning, you're saying, you know what, I have been engaging in some just downright poor choices, sinful behavior. Maybe it's through how you interact with your parents. Maybe it's just that you constantly tell so many lies that you don't even know what is true anymore. Maybe for you, it's your desire for your success, that you are just pushing people all over, that you are pulling them along with you. You're pulling them into your lifestyle. I don't know what it is. Maybe some of us were engaging in sexual behavior that we know we shouldn't be engaging in. I don't know what, but I know that sin has a grip on a lot of our lives. Sin has an even greater grip on the rest of our lives. But what we have the opportunity to say is, I know this is not part of God's plan. I know that I am not living in an obedient way towards God, and I need to seek forgiveness, and that forgiveness is open and available right now to each and every one of us. To say, I know I'm not living the way that God wants me to. God is not responding to me in the ways that I want him to, so maybe our reality is that we need to change our lifestyle so that we can see and hear God speaking into our lives, because we are pursuing what he wants for us and from us. My question for you this morning, students, is where are you digging in right now where you need to give in? Where in your life are you digging into your sin where you need to just go, you know what, I can't do this anymore. I need to give it all to God. I need to give in to God. I need to seek repentance. I need to turn. I need to change my mind. I need to begin a new path where I'm pursuing God, and I need to seek forgiveness in my life. Students, where in your life this morning you need to give in instead of dig in? Know that there's a God who loves you so much that he sent his son to this earth to show us how we need to live our lives and how we need to love others, but ultimately to go to the cross and to die for our sins, to die for the sins that we are having trouble giving up. He came to free us of that, to say, I love you so much. I will take on the wrath of God. I will take on the punishment that we deserve so that you can be right with the Heavenly Father. He came and he died for us so that we don't have to continue to pursue sinful behavior, so that we don't have to continue to dig into sin when we just have to give in to God. Students, the best thing that we can do is we can give it over. We can give in to God. We can offer our lives over to him, that we can seek forgiveness. And we can find that our lives are so full and so rich because we are on God's plan for our lives and not our own. Don't let our selfish desires get in the way. Give in to God. Let's pray. Father God, God, I pray that we would learn. I pray that we would learn from others who have blown it, who have completely rejected you, who have engaged willingly in these sinful behaviors. I pray that we would learn from these people in this incredible gift you've given us in your word. I pray that we would learn from those and we would not be convinced that we can figure it out on our own. I pray, Father, that you would just continue to work in our lives. God, I thank you that you offer forgiveness and you offer it right now. All we have to do is turn to you. We realize that you haven't left us, but that we walked away from you. Father, let us turn and realize that you are right there, wrapping your arms around us, saying, I'm so glad that you're home. Let's go through life together. Lord, help us to learn from Saul. Help us to not be convinced that we've got this one figured out. But let's go to you and understand that you have it perfectly figured out. Thank you for your love. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Green Student Ministries High School Podcast of the Chapel in Green. If you have any questions, feel free to contact us at gsm@thechapel.life or follow us on Instagram @Green Student Ministries. We would love to hear from you. Thanks for listening.